listening to Tassie Encounters and on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today David Maxwell is back with us, continuing our Tassie Encounters Moments programs. These are our shorter programs, and we've been talking about the three angels' messages, and we're up to message number two today. Number two. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Jason. Looking at the second angel's message today.
Yes, awesome. We've got our show number here on Tassie Encounters, 0488 880891. We'd love to hear from you, so do text us in. We've got a free book offer coming up, and we've got a question. But, yeah, send us in your questions, your feedback, your answers to our questions. We'd love to engage with you today. So, David, where are we going to start with this second angel's message?
Yeah, well, we've looked so far at human impatience, God's patience as he urgently warns us of what's ahead, so we don't miss out on what he's got to offer us. But before I start today, I want to say Merry Christmas. If you're listening in today and you might feel a bit alone, Merry Christmas. You know, you're not alone. We're here, sort of. And God is with us, and he gave us that promise of Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to mention to people that the 25th of December is a very culturally important day, but it's more than likely Jesus wasn't born on that day. And we know that because he was born about 6 months apart from John the Baptist. And John, when you look at the time that his father was serving in the temple and which clan was serving, it's more than likely John the Baptist was born around March. Jesus was then born about 6 months after that, which falls around September. But we've got that day. We haven't got time to go into why we celebrate Christmas Day, but it's a very cultural thing rather than a biblical thing.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Merry Christmas. It's a special day for a lot of people.
It is, and it's a lovely family time, but also a good time to remember that Jesus did come to be with us.
He did. So, he did, regardless of the date, he came. So today we're going to look at something called Babylon and why we should avoid it. And the passage we're going to read is a fairly long one, but there's two passages in the Bible, a short one in Revelation 14:8, and then a repeat and enhanced kind of message in Revelation 18:1-4. Could you read those in the New King James for me, please, Jason?
Sure. So Revelation 14:8, and another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Do you want me to read the 1-4 as well?
Yes, please.
"After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having the great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mighty with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.'"
Thanks, Jason. So the first and most logical question you'd get after reading that, certainly I do, who or what is Babylon? So let's break it down a bit, and it might help us to understand where all of this reference to Babylon comes from. So firstly, Babel. Of Noah's three sons, that there was one that was rebellious, and his name was Ham. He was punished by God because he was rude and disrespectful to Noah. There was an event that happened, and he was very inappropriate. So through Noah, God said, well, you're going to have to serve your brothers and all the rest of it. Anyway, from his descendants, Ham's descendants, came Nimrod, and Nimrod founded many cities, including Babel, and you'll read that in Genesis chapter 10. The Tower of Babel in chapter 11 was set up in opposition to God. It was an attempt, if you like, by the people to say, hey, you know, we are not going to be experiencing another flood. We're going to build a tower that's going to keep us safe. Mm. And it was a symbol. It was the first symbol of opposition to, well, one of the symbols of opposition to God. Fast forward many years later. Many centuries later, 2 Kings 17, you have Babylon coming to the fore. And this time, it's conquering Israel and Jerusalem. So the people have been very self-centered. They turned away from God. God said, all right, if you want that, I'm going to take hands off. I'm going to stop protecting you. And so he does. And the other nations come in. Babylon, this is the time of Nebuchadnezzar, around the time of Nebuchadnezzar. They come in and they make a number of attacks on Jerusalem. And all the cities of Judea and Israel. And finally, they overcome Jerusalem and they carry the people away. So that was an anti-God power. So end time Babylon is also represented by this, it's mentioned as Babylon in Revelation, and this end time resistive religio-political force. Mm. So a religio-political force that's against God. And it's earthly powers that represent false religion, and eventually they're opposed to God. They're not following him faithfully. They might start out being faithful, but eventually they, you know, through traditions and other things, they stop following God.
Mm.
Well, stop being obedient.
Mm. So ultimately, when it says Babylon's falling, it's talking about the fall of this system or this religio-political power that is trying to control people and force them to follow their ways.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look down through history, Jason, you'll see that how do powers fall? What makes a power fall?
Often when enough people realize that the power is corrupt and is only serving themselves.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Now, what's a recent one that we've just seen in previous weeks?
Syria. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Assad. His name is Bashar al-Assad. Now, he's fortunately still alive. Mostly when dictators are overthrown, they're killed.
Mm.
He got out of there before they did that. So Iran's a really good example. He kept people under his rule for 24 years. 24 years. That's why they call it a dictatorship. You know, they keep the power regardless of the vote of the people.
I think you're referring to Syria there rather than Iran.
Oh, sorry, right? Syria. Yeah. My mistake. Syria, yeah. So, you know, for 24 years he keeps the people under his control, but he loses support of the people about 11 years in.
Mm.
And so for the last 13 years, people have been resisting his reign until finally last month he's ousted through a military coup by these people who are resisting. So in Revelation 14 and 18, although false religion has kept people captivated for centuries, we're told that it'll eventually lose the respect and support for the people and they'll turn on her.
Mm.
That's Babylon.
Mm.
So this fall is fully described in Revelation 17. We don't have the time to read all that today. Please go and read that yourself. It's the fall of Babylon. But within this message in chapter 14 and then repeated in more detail in chapter 18, within all systems of religion, there are good people. I want people to realize that.
Mm.
You know, you can truly follow God. How I might rephrase that. People think they're truly following God and they're doing the very best they can and they want to follow God and they're being obedient as far as they know in every single religion today, even non-Christian religions.
Mm.
But eventually, as time draws to a close and this worship battle comes to its climax, because that's really what all this is about in Revelation. It's about who we're going to worship.
Mm.
Satan wants us to worship him. God desires that we worship him. Satan will resort to force. God won't resort to force. So in this second angel's message, God urgently calls all who wish to remain true and faithful to him to come out of those religions that are not being fully obedient. So, you know, as you study the Bible more and you look at your own faith, you'll see, hey, you know, there's things in my faith that don't align with what the Bible says. I think I'm going to stand on what the Bible says. That's where I came to in my Christian walk. So God doesn't want his faithful followers, wherever they are, whatever religion they're in, he doesn't want them to get caught up in the punishment of against these systems that are leading people astray. God will eventually punish those systems. And he doesn't want his faithful people to get caught up in that. So he says, come out, come out, make a stand, show that you want to follow God faithfully. Coming back to what we said on Monday, give God glory and proper worship the way he asks, not the way you want to, but the way I ask.
Mm. So what can we learn from this? What can we take away?
Yeah, look, this is really a soundbite, isn't it? You know, we could speak for weeks on this topic, but I think there's this urgent message because of the time we're living in, you know, the inference that we have to take action now. Yesterday we talked about relationship, and it takes time to build. And if Babylon's a false religion, then the urgency of this message is that we owe it to ourselves and to God to check out if we are being faithful the way he asks us to. And to avoid being caught up in that punishment of a rebellious, we've got to stand up and be counted, you know, come out of those false systems, seek God through a transformed heart and mind. So the call is there. And we've shared this very important wake-up call today, and it's up to us to each choose ourselves who will serve and why. Will you continue to fight against God as Gamaliel mentioned in Acts 5, like the Pharisees were doing, holding on to their incorrect teachings and beliefs, dishonoring God, or will you step out, join those who are being faithful to God and seek him through a true heart? If you'd like help with that, please get in touch with us, because God is patient, but as time runs out, he makes this urgent call to stand up for truth.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a question for you to consider this week. Have you ever received an urgent and pressing message, and what did you do about it? Text us in on 0488 880891.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer today is called Archangel. That's the same book that we've had for this series, these five programs this week. And it's a book by Miguel Valdivia. Throughout the history of the universe, angels have had an interesting and intimate interplay with humans. As God's messengers to a fallen world, they have watched and walked among men, invisible, powerful, guarding against the evil forces that surround us. Archangel examines the role played by angels in the great controversy, from the stories recorded of angelic intervention in biblical times to the coincidences in our own lives. These powerful stories challenge us to open our eyes to the angels who walk beside us, to recognize the ongoing war between good and evil. I believe an angel stepped in to save me many times. David, I'm not sure about you. So
definitely.
I certainly believe in angels. Text us in TEM07. That's our code for this week. No spaces, just the letters TEM and the number 07. Text it into 0488 880891 to claim that book offer.
Well, Merry Christmas to all.
We wish you a very wonderful Christmas, and hope that you can receive God's blessing wherever you are today. So this song as we go out is called Stand Up by Blair and Emma Lemke. So we do pray that you encounter Jesus more today and every day, and we look forward to hearing you tomorrow. La, da, 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 la, da, da.
Shaq and Benny were standing tall. When everyone else was hitting the floor, they were following God instead of following men. Bringing glory to God was their number one plan. And they said, even if we have to face the flames, we will serve our God and stand today. Stand up. Stand up, stand up, no matter the fall. Stand up when act oh so fine. Obeying God's law will make you shine. They said we purposed in our hearts to only eat the foods that God has said to eat. Boys and girls like Daniel, Rakshak, and Benny too, who will stand for the right though the heavens fall, following God's word and giving their all. And we say even if we have to face the flames, we will serve our God and stand today.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.